This morning we're going to pick up our study in 1 John chapter 4. So if you could turn to 1 John chapter 4. And the title for the sermon this morning is All You Need Is Love. Where does that come from? All You Need Is Love. Yes, it's a Beatles song. So I'm trying to gauge how much you guys listen to Beatles. My mom and uncle, they taped off all this Beatles stuff, so I grew up listening to Beatles stuff. And so it's a Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. And it goes like this, all you need is love, all you need is love, all you need is love, love, love is all you need, right? It talks about love, and the Beatles talked a lot about love, did they not? I mean, they had a lot of, she loves you, yeah, yeah, all these songs. I mean, the world talks a lot about love, as we'll get to. Okay, is love good? Yes, amen, love is good. Okay, now, just on this Beatles thing for a little bit, I mean, the Beatles are proud of the fact, they would say the fact that, I mean, they experimented with drugs as they went on. To harder and harder stuff, the LSD from marijuana and all these different things. Okay, so they were on mind-altering drugs, but they sang about love. Okay, the Beatles were into Eastern religion, especially George Harrison. Okay, Hinduism and transcendental meditation and having a Maharishi and all these things. But they sang about love, right? So, when we look at the Beatles, we look at a lot of these type of, you know, of that era and even the world. I mean, it's always talking about love and loving people and loving things, but yet they're doing things that are contrary to what God would have them do. I mean, the Beatles themselves, they hated Jesus Christ, but they loved. Is it true that all you need is love? And we're going to read in the Bible here today. I mean, it's going to talk about love. But we want to be able to understand what that love is and put this into context, because as we read our verses this morning, it seems like all you need is love. Okay, so let's please stand if you're able. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to read through verse 12. The Bible says this, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see Your Word this morning, and we see that we, as Christians, should love. Lord, help us as we study this section of Scripture. Help us as we look closely at these verses. And help it not to just go in one ear and to be, you know, some facts and some interesting things, but help it to change our lives, Lord. And you can do that only with Your Spirit working in us. Allow us not to grieve Your Spirit, but to be open to Your Word and to Your Holy Spirit working in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so we read a lot about love in these verses. I mean, it just keeps on talking about love and putting it a different way. Now, what does it mean to love one another? We look at verse 7 when we open up. It says, Beloved, let us love one another. We're supposed to, as Christians, love one another. Okay, so what does that mean to love one another? Does that mean it's a feeling? Or is it an action? The first thing we want to find out is, what does it mean to love one another? Now look at the end of verse 8. It says, He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Then at the end it says, For God is love, right? God is love. So, if we want to know what love is, because we're told to love one another, we need to find out what that love is. How do we love one another? We know that God is love. We don't look to the world. Okay, we don't need to go to Forrest Gump to know what love is. We need to go to God, right? Because God is love. God is the creator of love. And so that's how we're going to figure out, when we're told to love one another, how do we do it? Let's look at God's Word. Let's go to verse 9 and begin there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. What does it mean that was manifested? That means it's made visible. It's shown. So this is how God showed His love for us. Okay, this is how He made His love visible. And if God is the one that we're looking to for love, and what love is, we need to look at what God did. So it goes on in verse 9. It says, Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. So God showed us what love was by Jesus Christ, by sending His only begotten Son into the world, correct? That's our model of love, is Jesus Christ coming to earth to die for our sins. Okay, so that we could receive eternal life. This verse here, verse 9, when it says, God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, reminds me of Romans 5, verse 8. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? God commendeth His love. He showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we were sinners. We were the enemies of God. The Bible says that by nature we're children of wrath. We deserve God's wrath. We still deserve God's wrath, correct? Because of our disobedience. The Bible says that the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So we were God's enemies, deserving of His wrath, but instead, what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son to die for us while we were yet sinners. Not after we, you know, had turned our life around, after we had become godly all of a sudden, then He died for us. He did it while we were His enemies, while we were yet sinners. So we want to look at love. And there's a first big thing, is God loved us. He so loved the world, and we didn't deserve it. We were His enemies. When Jesus said, you know, love your enemies, He did it. God did it. Jesus Christ did that. Okay, so let's go on to verse 10. It says, herein is love. And so it's going to tell us again, herein is love. Not that we loved God, because in our flesh, the Bible says, we cannot love God. Unless we have the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot love God. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 11, that there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. By nature, in our flesh, we don't want to seek after God. We want to seek after what Lee wants. We want to do what we want. And if we can pray to God and He'll give us some things and it helps us, then sure. But we're not seeking after God. We're not looking to understand God. We're looking for Him to understand us and Him to do what we want. But that's what it says in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, because we did not love Him first. It says, but that He loved us. That's love. We didn't love Him, but He loved us. To love someone without them loving you, that's godly love. That's biblical love. So we want to figure out, when the Bible says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, we want to figure out what that love is. First, we see that it's a love that we can love somebody without them loving us back, without them loving us first. God loved us. Therefore, we can love Him then. But we look at the world and what the world says about love. I mean, think of all the movies and TV shows and music, songs and stuff. If I just think, I mean, I used to like Rocky movies. Remember Rocky? Okay, I mean, good boxing movie is about a guy being tough. And I mean, Rock's even kind of named after that. But yet, in the middle of that, they put in a love story about Rocky and Adrian. I mean, in every movie and everything, there's love all this time. The world loves love. But the world tells you to love people that love you back. The world tells you, you know, as a woman or as a man, that you should be around somebody that loves you back. And it's all about you. Okay, but Jesus Christ loved His enemies. God loved us while we were yet sinners. Verse 10, it's not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ died. He took on the wrath of God that we deserved. Jesus Christ took on the wrath of all of mankind, the sins of the whole world, upon Himself on that cross. And He died for people that were spitting on Him, that were yelling at Him. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus Christ is our example of love. Not the world is not our example. God is love. So when we want to know that we want to love somebody else, we're told to love one another. We look to Jesus Christ. We look to God, because God is love. And so His love, was it just a feeling? Was it just words? Did He just say, I love you? Was it just He tolerated us? No, His love was a love of action. It was a sacrificial love where He actually physically gave His body and shed His blood for us. It was a love of action. Okay, it wasn't puppy love. It wasn't like the love that the world talks about. His was a love of action. So we want to know what love is if we're to love one another. The first thing we can see is it's sacrificial. It's a love of action, not just words. And it's loving others, even if they're not loving us. So let's go back to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Not with a mushy feeling of love. Not with, you know, putting up with somebody love, but with action. Okay, we should do things for people. This love is a verb. We should love one another. We should sacrifice ourselves. We should sacrifice our wants. We should sacrifice our desires, our time for others. Okay, that's what it's saying. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. We see that in verse 7. Love is of God. And we agree with that because God is our example for love. He showed us. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. It's an action. God didn't so love the world that He just said, you know, I'm not going to punish you. He still punishes sin. He still tells the truth. But He sent His Son to die for us. A love of action. And it says here, everyone, the end of verse 7, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Okay, this is where we got to be sure we understand what love is. Because it's so hard for me, I think it is for everybody, because the world just pours in love, what love is. And love is this feeling. And love is this Cupid thing. And love is this, you know, falling happily ever after. And love is all these things. But that's not what biblical love is. Because if we look at love the way the world says it, right, we would say, well, almost everybody loves. I mean, I don't know about Hitler, but he probably loves something. You know, so that would mean he was born of God and knoweth God, because it says, he that loveth, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And almost everyone in the world loves people that treat them good. They love people that help them. They love things that help themselves. So if we look at love the way the world says it, we would say, well, everybody then is born of God and everybody knows God. But that doesn't make sense biblically, because Jesus Christ says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And how many find it? Few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. So how is this saying that everyone that loves is born of God and knows God? When everybody we know loves, obviously the definition of love that we get from the world is different than what biblical love is. Okay, the love of the world is a love that doesn't need God. And I would say the love of the world is a selfish love. Okay, we're told to do stuff for other people, right? Like in schools, like when I used to teach, we'd have days where we do community service. We'd go out and rake leaves and do these things. And why do we do those things? Well, they cannot mention God, who's the author of love, in order to do it, because we want to be like our Lord and Savior, and because He commands us to love one another. So if you take God out of the picture, you take God out of love, and you want to do loving acts, like a community service day, what is the reason that the world gives? It's that you will feel better about yourself. When you help others, you feel better about yourself. When you give, you receive. That's the reason the world has to go for some way to tell people why to love, and it always comes back to yourself. If you give to a starving, you know, people in Africa, you'll feel better about yourself knowing that you did that. You know, in school, we treat kids not to bully and to say, you know, no rude comments, rude gestures or put downs are in the rules, all these things, to do these things. And the reason is, why should you not put somebody down? Why don't you bully? The world and the school system would say, well, somebody that puts somebody down, they have low self-esteem. And they have to put down so-and-so to make themselves feel better. So you should have high self-esteem. Think highly of yourself so that you don't have to put somebody down and you can feel good about yourself, that you don't have to put somebody else down to make yourself feel better. But it all comes back to feeling good about yourself. Do we get that? So the world, when they say to do loving things, it all comes back to ourself. It's for me. It's for my benefit. The world's love is all about ourself. But that's not God's love. And there's the difference. There's a biblical love and a godly love, and then there's a worldly love, which is all selfish. It's all about what is good for me. But the Bible says that love is of God. Love is not of me. It's not for me. It's of God. It's a love of action, and it's not done for selfish reasons. Philippians 1:11 tells it this way. Philippians 1:11 says that we should be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and praise of God. So we should be filled with these fruits, and love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And we should be filled with these fruits of righteousness that are by Christ Jesus, because we can't do it on our own, but it's for the praise and the glory of God. Our love and the loving things that we do should be for the praise and the glory of God. Nothing about ourselves, and their true biblical love is selfless. It's unselfish. It's all based on God. It's for God to get the glory. You can see why they don't teach that in schools, because that, to say that, I mean, obviously is so Christian. And that's the message of the Bible, that true love is of God and it's about God. And the Bible says that everyone that loves in that way, in a godly way, where it's all about God, where it's unselfish, to where it's a love of action, if people love in that way, then they, everyone that loveth, is born of God and knoweth God. Okay, so it makes a difference how we see love. Love is not the puppy love. Love is not the selfish love. Love is not the worldly love. It's unselfish. It's centered on God. And it's a love of action. Let's go on to verse 8. He that loveth knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So it says, if you do not love in this way, and last week we took a step back and looked at all of 1 John, and we said the main purpose of the book of 1 John, which is in 1 John 5, verse 13, is that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so we can look in the book of 1 John and see tests, and we can match up our life with what the Word of God says and say, can I know that I have eternal life? And one of those tests, we said, was our life. We look at our life. The second one was our love, which we're focusing on today. And the third one was the Holy Spirit. Does He dwell inside of me? And today we're focusing on love, and it says in verse 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So if you do not have this love, and if your life, if you can look at your life and you can say, I don't do these things, I don't have these feelings in me, I don't desire to do these things. Okay, my life does not show an unselfish love, a love of action. The Bible says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Because God is love. Okay? Now you may say you love others. You may say you love, but talk is cheap, right? It comes down to what do your actions show? What does your life show about your love? Okay, where's the evidence of your love? Let's go down at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God so loved us. Now, how did God love us? With an action. How did God love us? Unselfishly. How did God love us? Without us deserving it at all. When while we were yet sinners. God loved us when we did not deserve to be loved. Without merit. So we ought also to love because Christ is our model. God is our model of love. And so if we love others, how should we do it? The way God did it. We should do it whether they merit it or not. Whether they deserve the love or not. So I ask you this morning, is there somebody in your life, I mean, that right now you're thinking of that you have not loved with a love of action, with an unselfish love? Even if they don't deserve it, even if they don't merit it. Christian love says that doesn't matter. If God is our example, it doesn't matter if they merit it or not. Not like the world that says, well, he doesn't love you, get rid of him, baby. You know, something like that. No, God says we are to love whether they deserve it or not. To love our enemies even. So are you doing that? If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Are you doing that? Go on to verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. Why? That seems kind of weird that that's just put in here in the middle of all these verses. We're talking about love, 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 love. No man has seen God at any time. Love, love, love. Why? Okay. Well, John talks about this a lot. This is almost just like John 1, verse 18 in the Gospel of John where he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Nobody's seen God the Father. But Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he is God, he hath declared God. And he has declared God's love. Because God is love. So through Jesus Christ, God's love is declared. We wouldn't really know the example of God and His love without Jesus Christ. So no man has seen God at any time reminds us that we have seen the image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ. And we got to see His love as we read in verse 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. So our example again is Christ. Our example is Christ for love. Look at verse 12 some more. It says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. So if we do love one another in a biblical type of love, unselfishly, without merit, with a love of action, if we love, it says, God dwells in us. And so here's another test passage. Before we said, you know, if you don't love, you're not of God. Now it's saying if you do love, God dwells in you. So this is a positive way of saying the same thing we saw before. This is the test today. So you can know that you have eternal life. Do you love one another? If you do, in the biblical sense, love one another, then you can know that God dwells in you. If you can love others unselfishly, undeservedly, with a love of action, you can know that God dwells in you. But it always comes back to that, and that's what I love about 1 John. It always comes back to that, God dwelling in us. Because there is no way, I get up here and preach, we read the Bible, we hear Ed teach in there. Every time we read the Bible, we see that our life does not measure up, and that God is asking us to live a life that seems impossible, and it would be, except for God dwelling in us. All these things are impossible in the flesh. It's impossible to love godly without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And in 1 John, we see that over and over. It comes back to God in us, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, allowing us, enabling us, and teaching us, and guiding us to be able to live and to love like we're supposed to love. So we cannot do this. We look at it, we think, who can love this way? Well, we can't, unless we have God in us. And so we know in verse 12, if we love one another, we know that God dwells in us. And God does not dwell in anybody but His sons and daughters. If God dwells in you, then you are saved. Which comes right back to 1 John 5, verse 13. These things were written so that you can know that you have eternal life. If God's in you, you know you're saved. If you're loving in this way and you can love in this way, you know that God is dwelling in you. It's only through God. I mean, the world talks about love. You know, love this, love that, love them, love yourself. Love's everywhere in the world. Okay, but without God, it's not true love. There's a big difference between godly, biblical love and the world's love. The world's love is a cheap imitation. It's a selfish love. It's not real love. That's why somebody could say, you know, a husband could say, well, I just don't love her anymore. Well, that's because they're thinking of it in the worldly sense. In the biblical sense, love is a love of action, whether they deserve it or not, unselfishly. So in the worldly sense, in the biblical sense, you just tell that husband that says, well, I just don't love her anymore, say, well, go do it. Then go start loving her. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not something that you can't control. You go love her right now because you're commanded to by the Scriptures. If you're a Christian and you're a husband, love your wife. Unselfishly, whether they deserve it or not, with a love of action. You don't hear that because we think of love as this feeling and this emotion. It's not. God tells us what love is. God's our definition for what love is. And He deserves to give us that definition because He's God. And He sent His Son to show us and manifest His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if we love one another, it says in verse 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. So we end here, it says, and His love is perfected in us. If we love others, we know that God lives in us and then His love is perfected in us. It's complete. I mean, He loves us and He gave us salvation, but He wants us to grow more and more like Him. He didn't just love us and then say, fine, you're saved, that's it. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Because God's love is a perfecting love. Christ died for us to save us from our sins, yes, but more than that. He's not just done with us once we're saved. He continues to love us, and His love is a perfecting love. And He wants His love to be perfected in us, and a way to do that is if we can truly love one another in a biblical sense, unselfishly, undeservedly, with a love of action. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. It's a command. Right? Not saying, husbands, if you do love your wives, treat them like Christ, you know, treated the church. It said, husbands, love your wives. It's a command. A love of action. Okay, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. All right, did Christ die for a building? Is that what we're talking about here, this church? Did Christ die so this building could be built? No, when it talks about the church, we're talking about who? believers, the called out ones, the churches, the ecclesia, the called out people, the saved people, the people that He died for the whole world so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Those that believe on Him. So it says Jesus Christ gave Himself for the church. He gave Himself for you and I. That's the first clue about love. Again, it's sacrificial. He gave Himself. Look at verse 26. So that He might sanctify and cleanse it. It is the church, us, you and I. He can sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the Word. I mean, we are sanctified and cleansed, first of all, by the Word of God, it tells us. The Word of God washes us. It cleanses us. But His love, and the reason He died is so that, it says in verse 26, He might sanctify and cleanse us. So His love is a perfecting love. To sanctify us means that we grow more and more like Him each day. We're becoming more and more Christ-like by the washing of the water of the Word of God. This gives us a bath. It cleans us and sanctifies and cleanses us to make us more like Christ. And He loves us not to just say, I love you, you're saved, now do whatever you want. He wants to sanctify and to cleanse us so that we can become more like Him. We can live more Christ-like lives. So He can perfect us. That's what the Bible would say. He died for us. He adopted us. He gave us the Holy Spirit living inside of us. All this so we can live godly lives. Because we can't do it on our own, as we said. We cannot do it in the flesh. Look at verse 27. So that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. That's you and I. That we might be presented glorious to Him. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what He wants from us. Is we don't have spots and wrinkles and we get washed of all these things. And we continually are growing more and more like Him. And His love can be perfected in us. Okay, the Bible says that we should be perfect as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. Okay, we should be growing like Him. Now, we're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But that is where we're headed. And that is what Christ, His love, should do for us. It's a cleansing love. The world would call it tough love, right? I mean, because the Bible says that whom He loveth, He chasteneth. I mean, He's going to chastise us just like I would to our children. Right? We love them, and so we chasten them, and we correct them, and we rebuke them, and God's going to do that with you because He loves you. And He does that, He loves you in that way, not so you stay the Lee Smith you were right now, but that I can grow, and I can change, and I can be molded after Him. And so, that's His love. And that's what it says in 1 John 4, verse 12. His love is perfected in us when we love others with a godly love. And that goes back to like 1 Corinthians 13, that the greatest of these things is love, is charity. I mean, that is what we want to do as Christians. We want to grow as Christians. And one of those areas is in our love. And we can only do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ wants us to love others just as He loved us. Okay, let's recap. Okay, the world's love is a feeling. But God's love is an action. The world's love is selfish. It's all about how it can help you. But God's love is selfless. It's all about how it can glorify God. And you can check yourself, am I loving in a selfish way? Okay, and ask forgiveness. And say, God, I cannot do this in my flesh. It's only through You and Your Spirit that I could actually love in this godly way that's just glorifying to You. Okay? Almost everybody loves in the worldly kind of way, but the Bible says that there's few that can love in God's way. There's few that are on the path towards heaven. And the only way that we can love that way is through the help of God's Spirit, to be born again, to be a true believer. So I ask you this morning to examine your life. To examine your own self. To see whether you are a Christian. Do you have this love? Do you have this in you? Does your life show evidence of this? And if not, there's two possible reasons. Number one is you are not saved. You are not a believer. Which we need to repent. Turn to Christ. Ask Him to save you. And be saved. And He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then, and only then, can you live the life that He wants you to live. And it's mapped out in this book. That's one way. The other way, you could be a believer and you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're not loving others the way you're supposed to love them. You're not doing it with the love of action. You're not doing it with a selfless love. You're not loving people unless they actually deserve to be loved. If you're doing that, you're not loving in a godly way. You need to repent. Confess your sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if you're in that case right now, God should be chastising you right now and washing you with the water of the Word. As we look at this, if we look at this love, you should be saying, I am not doing that, Lord. I know I'm not doing that. Lord, I'm sorry. And you turn from that. And He's chastising you. He's chastening you right now. But if you're not doing that, and there's no chastening, there's no chastising, there's no conviction of the Holy Spirit, you need to be saved. Because the Bible says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. If we don't love, we don't know God, because God is love. As Christians, we will and we should love one another. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that we can see it clearly, what it means to love, and that You've sent the supreme example for love. Lord, help us, each one of us, where we fall short, help us to turn to You and just to rely on You and to walk in Your Spirit. To live in Your Spirit, and not to do this in our flesh, but that we would be empowered by Your Holy Spirit to not grieve You and to do what You want us to do. Live the way You want us to live, Lord, for Your glory, not for our own glory. Lord, I ask for each one of us where we do fall short that we, each one of us can come to You and confess that sin personally to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we may just as Christians live a life that's glorifying to You, and that we can somehow live in Your Spirit and be measure up to what You have for us and what You expect of us. And Lord, we love You and we thank You for giving us the example. Thank You for everybody here today. Be with us this week. Be with us in our jobs. Be with us as we walk. Help us to love everybody, even our enemies, even if they don't deserve it, and to do it with a love of action, to show Christ through our actions. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.